am from Arkansas, and my dad was a coal miner. That kind of makes me a coal miner's daughter.
That makes so much sense now.
All of them had that.
She had some fringe bangs.
Yeah, those were good.
That would be your role. Like, if we had a band, I think, like, you'd be the pretty one
playing
the tambourine.
Because you have to have a lot of talent to slap that thing on your wrist.
Absolutely.
Or leg. See, we're just, like, talking all... I'm so excited because I loved this movie. I cannot...
I felt humbled to actually get to talk with them. Like, oh, wow, I didn't know that you were this cool. Thanks for talking with me. I feel like a peon.
Yeah, you are. All right, everybody. It is Taylor and Greg Unfiltered, and we are so happy that you are here. Unfortunately, Taylor, you know, she's got 45 children, and she does have a husband. So, and it is a holiday week, and it's kind of a love week. We just celebrated Valentine's Day, if you call it celebrating, but Taylor could not be here this week, and we are pleased to have, on Taylor's behalf, David, my boyfriend. So, welcome, David, to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. It may not be as good as Taylor, and she is on my shit list, just so you know, but I still love her, so I'll step in this once just on her behalf.
Oh, you know you'll be back. So much fun. Anyways, since it is a holiday week, we wanted to do all songs that are just love-inspired. You know, I know so much about that since we've been together for 45 years, and most people don't know, but we met in a handbag store. I think it was 26 years ago, and I was going to hair school, and David was working retail, and anyways, I just asked if I could ask the manager. I said, do you mind if I fraternize with some of your staff? And she said, well, we're closing actually the doors to the business in a couple of weeks, so feel free, have at it. And you know what? It's just like... It's like feeding a cat, you know, they just stay with you forever until you stop feeding them. So anyways,
once you get them, you can't get rid of them.
You cannot.
Worst mistake of
my life.
You got to
put something in that litter, that little what fancy feast. So get rid of them that way. But anyway, so we're going to start off this week with one of, I know, David's favorite songs. And it is Chet Baker's My Funny Valentine.
My funny Valentine, sweet comic Valentine, you make me smile with my heart. Your looks are like...
All right, David, so what did you think?
Well, that is one of my favorite songs. Chet Baker is definitely one of my favorite singers. If I had to name, like, my top male singer, he is definitely one of them. And my favorite song by him is Time After Time, but then My Funny Valentine is his second song that's my favorite. It's a known song. I mean, everybody knows that song. So many people have done it and redone it in all different versions. But I love his version because he is just sort of the Prince of Cool, is as he's known. You know, jazz, when he came on the scene, was a big deal on the East Coast. And he's sort of the one who kind of opened it all up and took on this sort of title of like the West Coast vibe. He started what's known sort of as like West Coast jazz, I guess. And I love this song because it's a very soulful, jazzy version. And his probably the best, he's done several renditions, but the best one was a concert he did in Tokyo quite a while back.
So excited. We're going there next week.
We'll be going there. So that'll be fun. But the version is really, really good. And you know, he plays he's a trumpeter, obviously. So all of his songs pretty much have that mixed in. And the song, though, that the reason I love this version so much is, and his voice, because his voice is very soulful. But at the same time, the way he sort of pauses and kind of does a play on the notes and his hesitation and spacing with the song, it's really good. And that's why I've always loved it. And it's, you know, he has a slightly rough voice, but mixed in with kind of the lyrics of the song, it's kind of a nice contrast.
Well, you know, the song I read somewhere, you know, on my little Wikipedia, that it has been done on 1,300 albums. I mean, this song has been done that many times. And I know he did this in 1952. And I really didn't know much about him. And as you can tell, David's a connoisseur and very knowledgeable. Taylor and I could, like, study just his brain for a little bit. But that would take all day. But anyways, I just thought it was a fun way to kick off this week. So
it is a fun way. I mean, especially if you're going to kick off a love week, I guess, do it with a song that so many people already know.
Absolutely. And another artist that we're going to move right into is one of my all-time favorites. And we both had personal experiences with this man. But let's go ahead and listen to his song or his rendition of The First Time I Ever Saw Your Face. And this one is performed by George Michael.
First time ever I saw your face, I thought the sun rose in your eyes.
Don't you love that version?
I love that version.
I know it's everyone really knows good. It from Roberta
Everybody knows
Flack.
It. Yeah, Roberta Flack. I mean, obviously, it's sort of her song. But George, you know, he has such a beautiful voice, and he does a great, great job with this version.
Well, I know this was done in 94, and we've seen him in concert. We were lucky to see one of the last concerts with him, and we've actually had dinner parties, as I said before, and I know Kenny and him were such in the art scene. And this song, I think just him on a stool performing this, I think it was a VH1 or MTV, one of those freaking little radio station TV shows where it's unplugged. But I mean, if anybody has a chance to see that, it was really special because it was just him and the microphone, which is what we're doing today.
It's such a beautiful song. I mean, it's, you know, it's a great version to do just with like a little trio and singing it. I mean, you want a little bit of the music, not just a cappella, but it's really great. The great thing about this song that a lot of people who do the versions don't always do, but that George does really, really well. It's so kind of restrained. Like, it's such a slow pace almost. You sort of are kind of hanging on every word to the point to where you really feel all the emotion that he's singing the whole way through. You kind of, to where when it finally ends, you almost just want to make a sigh because you feel so sort of pulled through the song in such an emotional kind of way.
Oh, yeah, I'm exhausted just talking about it. But, you know, even when he did some of his Christmas songs, and we've heard that before and I talked about it, I mean, he is just, there will be no other person like him. I mean, it was just such a moment in time, and his fashion was great. I mean, those tight jeans, everyone loved it, and that feathered hair and Wham. But anyways, this is a classic, and if you haven't heard his version, then you need to look that one up. But
and he had great fashion always through all of his videos and everything, because that was when he, you know, came onto the scene during the time of all the like MTV and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, well, he was right there with Madonna and Michael Jackson.
And then when he went solo and everything after Wham, I mean, those are really some of the best albums with that Caesar cut. And then the fact that, we, you know, like you said, we've been to his home and sort of on a more personal level, it makes it really special for us.
Absolutely. But listen, let's talk about another person that has great style or had great style. Was Amy Winehouse, and this is a song that she collaborated with Tony Bennett, which, you know, David, we've seen Tony Bennett several times with Lady Gaga and solo, and now I know he's not doing anything anymore from what I understand, but let's listen to their song, Body and Soul.
For you I sigh, for you dear only. Why haven't you seen it? I'm all for you, body and soul.
I spend my days in a hunger and wondering why.
So, David, this, I mean, we both love Tony and we love Amy Winehouse. And I know she can be a hot mess or had been a hot mess, but just watching her documentary on her life was, I think it was called Amy or just Amy or something like that. But you really felt her struggles and this song. I mean, again, it's been done a million times, but I think there was a really special moment in watching the video of them doing this or whatever.
Yeah, the video's great. I mean, the way the two of them sort of meld together, and they actually, I believe, did record that together. It wasn't like, you know, separate recordings that they sort of melded together.
Which is so interesting when people do that because you never really know. I know we've heard.
You never really know if they're in the studio together recording it or if they.
No, I know Dolly sometimes doesn't have time to do stuff like that. And so they just do what me and Taylor do, just splice everybody together and you wouldn't know any different. But I think they had a really special relationship and
they did. You could sort of feel the connection with each other. I mean, the song obviously is a classic song again from sort of the American Songbook standards. Tony's brilliant. I mean, everybody knows Tony and loves him. And but combined with Amy, it's a beautiful contrast because he's so sort of kind of, I guess, by the book, you know, and sort of his kind of polished technique that he does when he sings, whereas she has a roughness about her. But even with that roughness, you really get down to the, like the emotions and feel it with her singing. So it's a nice sort of contrast and juxtaposition, the two of their sounds together.
And of course, he has that classic style with his wardrobe and always a great suit. And he ends every number with his hands in the air. And she kind of was just a hot mess with just the beehives and the makeup, and it was so signature for her. And
I mean, yeah, definitely. I know y'all touched about Amy Winehouse before. I mean, her style, it was her style. It was unique. Everybody recognized it. You know, she had her thing. She did her own thing. She was, and it was very authentic. I mean, she wasn't really doing it as a sort of kind of prop. It was just really the way she really was and the way she looked and the way she felt the most comfortable.
Oh, totally. And I think that this actually won a Grammy the year it came out for the best pop duo, which I thought was interesting. Just another accolade on Tony Bennett's belt, but there'll never be another Amy. So sad. I feel like we're just discussing all these people who are dying or dead. They're all dead except for Tony.
They are so far, aren't they?
Lord, and Tony is barely holding on. So, but let's talk about another woman that passed away that was so sad. And this is such a legacy of music with her and her father. We're going to just roll right into it. It's Natalie Cole. This Will Be. Now, David, I know this is one of your favorite songs because many a night I have come home when we had our dog and just in general, I mean, if people don't know, David's very much a homebody and I drag him out a lot, but he loves to nest and be, you know, in the house, either dusting or when we had the dog, he'd walk over. The dog never walked on the ground, frankly. I'm being 100%
she
true.
She did occasionally.
No, she
only,
hated it.
Only indoors, but she
right,
did.
But I mean, that dog went everywhere. But at home, it was always in her arms. And they'd be dancing to this song.
We love this song. We always would dance around at night.
I mean, together I wish
before
I had
he
videos.
Got home, and yeah. We loved this song. It's, you know, this is a great song. Again, like you said, I mean, Natalie Cole, she has a great voice. And to come from such a musical background with her father, Nat King Cole, and all of that. But this song, it is a love song, but at the same time, it's really more just fun. You know, you can't help but just smile and want to move around when you hear this song because it's just got a great little pep to it. And you can tell when she's singing it that she actually had a lot of fun singing it too. And you can feel that. So it just makes you want to sort of move and smile.
Well, she won the best new artist in 1975, which is crazy. And that's when this song came out. I mean, it's like best new artist, like what? I mean, I can't even believe that. But, you know, funny little story, haven't told this one, but we were in New York during, I don't know, Fashion Week or Fashion Night Out.
I think we were there for Fashion Week.
Anyways, they, you know, there was a restaurant group called The Crown and The Lion and the Waverly Inn, and they always did these really unique pop-up restaurants. They lasted maybe a hot minute, 5 years max, but they always were very splashy. So, you know, Greg got real crafty and got us a reservation, and it wasn't a really belabored evening. It was an early dinner, maybe 9:30. We like to eat it a little later than some, but when we were walking into the restaurant, and of course this was on the Upper West Side.
It was at the Crown, wasn't it?
At the Crown, mm-hmm. And it had this grand staircase, and it was like a brownstone, and very intimidating, and we may come across as having confidence in our wardrobe and everything, but when it comes to culinary stuff, we're kind of little geeky nerds. But so we were walking up, and as we were about to open that damn door, out comes Natalie Cole with who?
She was with Calvin Klein.
Calvin Klein. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? There is Natalie Cole. She had short hair. She looked amazing.
But she was charming. She was charming.
Very
tall.
She held the door open for us. And I was like, girl, that's
she
Natalie
was.
Cole.
She was very statuesque, very poised. And she spoke. And it was kind of a fun little ditty for us.
Yeah, good memory.
To get to see that.
No, we've had so many of those through our many a year. So anyways, before we wrap up this week of love, I just wanted to go into another artist that I know David can go on about. And again, I didn't know much about this person. I think he kind of had like a little club moment where they would play it at all the gay clubs, and David's a little bit older than I am, so I never had the opportunity. I was in diapers, everyone, so I didn't go to all these type of little sundry places.
I may be older, but I look much, much younger.
Well, you asked Dr. Black in Beverly Hills what she
this
thinks.
This is true.
Although she actually said you were really cute and
this
had good
is true.
Skin.
When
I don't
we were
know.
Talking about
she's
all,
blind.
When we were talking about all the work you needed done, she looked at me and she said, you don't need anything.
This is
right?
ridiculous.
She looked at me and said, you don't need anything. So,
well, anyways, is there anything you want to say about this song or the artist?
Have you said who it is?
Yeah, it's Jimmy Somerville, and the song is Someday We'll Be Together.
Yeah, Jimmy Somerville, I mean, if anybody who knows songs from the 80s, I guess, he came on the scene first with Bronski Beat, and then he moved into the next one with the Communards.
Well, he was a Scottish.
He's Scottish,
which
yes.
is interesting, too.
Yes, interesting. We've got a couple of Americans on the roster tonight, and then we've also got a couple British ones. But Jimmy is Scottish, and he was with Bronski Beat originally, and then he went on to the Communards. And did several albums, and they were all like great successes. And then he did a solo career as well. And this is one of the, I believe this song is actually from his solo career, one of his albums. But he's known, if you know him, he's a sort of petite little man, but he's known for his countertenor falsetto voice, which is very high and beautiful.
Well, it's so interesting because he transitions so well from, you know, what you would consider just a normal singing voice to this really extremely pure
and
falsetto.
To hear him speak, he has a much deeper voice, but when he sings, it does go into this falsetto, and it's just, I mean, he really can hit every note, and it's just, it's really pretty.
Well, I know he did also, I think, a collaboration with Dusty Springfield, or covered Dusty Springfield. Am I lying right now? Probably, folks. Don't
I know,
believe.
Pet Shop Boys do.
Okay, but never mind. That was who it was. See, I get all these people just mixed up in my head, but.
But Jimmy worked a lot with Mark Allman also,
okay.
If you know him from the 80s.
Not so. Really, David. But.
But this is a great song. It's another one of those kind of feel-good songs. I guess the message sort of from it sort of kind of gives you hope about, you know, what's to come in a really good, positive way.
Oh, Lord, I need as much hope as going into Tokyo. We need a lot of hope,
we
people.
We need a lot of hope.
And I
We're
know.
We're all set. No, I feel great about Tokyo. We're all
oh,
set.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. But we will be posting pictures of that as soon as I can get there and arrive at the hotel. But listen, we're going to end this week, and it's been a fun one with David. And I hope that everyone stays tuned and come in next week, perhaps, with Taylor. And
Taylor, you owe me big time.
Oh, Taylor. She's always on somebody's shit list. But all right, we're going to let you go. Enjoy the song, everybody. Have a good week.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for having me. Bye.